Ask of me and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. You know, that's the thing. The angels in the Old Testament are called the sons of God. But by inheritance, they are not his sons. They are not his heirs. That is where we also, though we begin far less than angels, we will end up as co-heirs with Christ. And they say we will judge angels. That's why I object to all people who teach that, that we are incarnate angels, or that we were the sons of God in some former age. That is not a biblical teaching. For that is not how God treats with the angels. The way God always deals with the angels is distinct from men and distinct from the Son of God. I will be to him a father. He shall be to me a son. A father and son relationship exists between the Father and the Son. You know, Christ, they say, well, what is the relationship between God and the Son of God? I mean, what is that? You know, and to me, one very clear thing is very apparent, that, you know, what is the nature, the exact nature of the distinction between Christ and God the Father? And we've covered it a little bit in what he says here, right? Not trying to go out of bounds. But there exists a Father-Son relationship, though the Son has no beginning. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about there, I'm alluding to something we will talk about later in Hebrews. And I'll just leave that for later. I'm not going to go ahead. But it talks about Melchizedek. How he is made like unto the Son of God, having neither beginning of days nor end of years. He has no beginning. So the Son of God has no beginning. And you can look at Melchizedek in the New Testament for yourself and figure that out. But it's true. There exists this Father-Son parental relationship. He, like the Word of God, he comes forth from God. He is the Son of God. Yet he has no beginning. So he has always been that sort of, in that sort of secondary position to God, yet equal with God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And God himself grants him this honor in verse 8, where he says, to the Son he says what? To the Son he says, thy throne, O God. Because the Son of God is God's heir. And he's not like his baby. He is like his adult son. And he treats with him like the most respected adult son. You know, like a father who would look on his adult son, whom he loves and respects. You know what I mean? As an equal, not as something less than that. That's how the father looks on the son. The father looks on the son as equal. The son looks as the father with respect. That's why he always says, my father is greater than I. That is why he is subject to the father. That is because that is what a good son does. He subjects himself to the authority of his father. A good father raises his son up to stand in equal footing with him. That is how the right, you know, it is wrong for a son to exalt himself to equality with his father. It is wrong for a father to humble himself beneath his son. The father raises the son. The son humbles himself before the father. That is part of the nature of the proper father-son relationship between the Son of God and God. That there is a father-son relationship in the pure and virtuous sense. We have mutual respect and admiration. When he brings him into the world, he says, let the angels of God worship him. Now, you think about the nativity when he was born. And the bringing of Christ into the world was his birth. You know? And the angels, Hosanna in the highest. The shepherds saw the heavens open and the angels rejoicing, right? He sent them forth to worship. and they worshipped him, though he was but a human child. And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. God makes his angels spirits, both good and bad. You know, there are evil spirits and there are spirits of godly angels. There's angels of death, you know, evil angels. And the Lord has use of all of that. You know, there are incidents recorded in the Old Testament. You know, God is sitting on his throne. On the right hand and the left are all these spirits come forth. And there is an evil spirit comes forth. Well, I'll do this for you. And God says, you go ahead. And Satan himself comes before the throne of God in those characterizations. So we understand that heaven is under God's control, as everything is under his control. Well, there's a major difference between angels and men. They're distinct. There's a major difference between angels and the Son of God. He's not some other angel. He's not even a special angel. Though he is called in the Old Testament the angel of the Lord. Because, and that's man's characterization of him in the scripture. That's what they called that physical appearance of God, the angel of the Lord, because they knew God was invisible. So what was this thing they saw? That was, you know, I am the God of Abraham, you know, what was it? It was the angel of the Lord. It was the representation of God by God that stood as God before those who saw him. And, you know, even you look up the story of Gideon. Gideon saw the angel of the Lord and said, woe is me, I'm going to die because I've seen God. He actually saw a man and he thought, I'm dead. But to see the man, the angel of the Lord, is not death. It would be to behold the essence of God. Strip away the brightness of his glory. To be able to see into that would, I suppose, be more than human eyes could stand. If they could, I don't even know if we could see it. Not see it and live. That's what the scriptures say. Or actually, that's what man's expectation was every time they saw God.